If you were here last week, you may wonder where Kyle Alloway is, because I let you know that our intern, Kyle, who is studying ministry at Northwest University Southern Idaho campus, that he was going to be preaching this morning. And many of you know him because he's a part of our family, and you look around and you thought, oh, where's Kyle this morning? Well, if you were like me, you'd probably think a little sinister thought and look around and see if there was anybody dressed in shabby clothes, like maybe he's playing a role this morning, or look for somebody in costume. But Kyle has been working really hard. He preached his sermon, or a part of it, or a variation of it, Monday night at his class. And I was able to be there to encourage him. And we met this week, and he was ready this morning. And last night, he came down with a stomach bug. At first, he thought it was just nerves. But then the fever and the vomiting overnight confirmed that it wasn't just nerves. And so he isn't here this morning, and he said, I'll come, I'll try my best. And I said, look, I don't want you to get me sick or anybody else, so we will have to be patient for your sermon on patience. And so we're going to tackle patience next week, unless the Lord comes back or something else happens. But Kyle will not be preaching this morning on patience, but we will be preaching on another fruit of the Spirit, which I had begun my work on for next week, and we are fast-forwarding it to this day. There was a woman who was standing at a bus stop. How many of you have ever been at a bus stop? And like you and me, she was looking around at the people in her surroundings and becoming aware of who was around her and what they were up to, and a little bit nervous because she had just cashed her tax refund check and she was carrying quite a bit extra moolah on her at this moment. And so she glanced around and noticed that there was a shabbily dressed man standing nearby. Her heart kind of rose in pity as she watched him, curious about what his story was. And another man walked up to this wretched soul with some money clenched tightly in his hand and slid it into the arms of the beggar, and then whispered something in his ear. The woman was touched and thought, how generous of somebody. The man didn't even ask for money. He just is standing there. And this other man was so generous, and she thought, I've got extra money on me right now. God must be using this moment to speak to me. And she pulled from her purse $10 and handed it to the man and whispered in his ear, never despair, never despair. The next day, she returned to the bus stop, having deposited the cash at home, and the man was there again. Only this time, he walked up to her and handed her $110. Dumbfounded, she looked at him, stammering backwards, and said, what is this? And he said, lady, you won. Never despair, paid 10-1. Just let it sink in. Now, I can't promise you that your act of kindness is going to pay 10-1. But what I can promise is that in our generosity towards others, that God will be faithful to meet our needs, that He will take care of us. A few months ago, I was meditating on generosity and just thinking about finances, and the Lord had challenged the church board here, even though we often struggle through the summer months, and this church had gone through a season of struggling financially ourselves. And in that struggle, even, God was challenging the leadership that we should be generous. And God put it on our hearts to increase our missions giving. But we knew that we could only do that if the congregation saw the vision and were generous. And it was at this time that I was meditating and thinking about this. How can we give when we're struggling? And it was this moment where I heard maybe the voice of God. I don't think it was audible, but this phrase came to my mind. No one has ever given themselves into bankruptcy, but many have spent themselves into bankruptcy. And you know, I thought, I don't know anyone who's, not that I'm challenging the theory, like, go give everything away and see if you go bankrupt. But people usually end up in that place of despair because they've spent all that they have on themselves. It's a self-feeding that they've been doing and not a generous heart. Because I assume, or I gather, that if we have generosity, then we won't be holding on to everything for ourselves if our heart is generous. We'll be kind and giving away. And so I can testify in my own life that even as I've been generous, God has met my needs through other individuals who were being generous, and also through just provision, the daily faithful provision of God. And so this morning we're going to talk about kindness, and this whole series that we've been focusing on these last few weeks has been from Galatians chapter 5. So we're going to start off there in Galatians chapter 5. We've been talking about what the scripture calls are the fruit of the Spirit. This whole series has been titled Infuse, with this idea that as the Spirit is in us, He infuses us with His character, and we become, as Pastor Bob prayed this morning, a vine. We're attached to the vine. We are a part of the vine. I'm sorry, I said Pastor Bob. I think Tom said that we are connected to the vine. And when you're connected to the vine, what do you bear? The fruit of the vine. I haven't seen any grape plants that bear apples, and there's no fig trees that bear grapes. You bear the fruit of the plant that you are. And when we are connected to the Spirit of God, then we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And we will be infused with Him. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, and then I'll have you read our highlighted passage with me. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask you this morning to infuse your people with the fruit of kindness. Lord, help us to see the needs around us and be willing accomplices with you to meet the need. God, help us to be bold in our action and fervent in our prayers and faithful in our generosity. God, we don't give because some self-motivational speech that spurs us on to think that giving is better than receiving. But God, we give because your Spirit is alive in us. Your Word says that we should not give reluctantly or under compulsion, but we should give what we have decided in our hearts to give, joyfully. And so, Lord, this morning, infuse or fill us, baptize us in your Spirit, that we would take on the color of who you are, and that we would transfer that as salt and light in the world, spreading your goodness, your kindness to all that we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before we talk about how we can be people of kindness, let's first talk about how God is a God of kindness. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" Who is it that God is drawing to himself with loving kindness? Is it those who have already purified their hearts and made their way right and are doing everything perfect? No. The one that God is extending His kindness to are those who have rebelled against Him. Those who have disobeyed His law. Those who have ran from Him when they should be running to Him. But God is kind even to the wicked. Luke 6:35 says, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back." Why? Because God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We can be kind because God is kind to us. Ephesians 2, 6 through 10. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "And God raised up with Christ, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace," you probably know this part, "you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So that's the beginning of Ephesians. And then at the end, so he talks about the kindness of Christ, that God in Christ raised us up out of our situation, out of our wickedness. If you read the beginning of chapter 2, it talks about all the impravity, or depravity, that is in us, and how Christ raised us out of that. And then at the end of Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, verse 30, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And then he gives us this instruction, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." When I was meeting with our interns, Kyle and others, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit and everything that's included in that, and we realized that there were some omissions in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the things that isn't there is forgiveness. One of the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul lists, is not forgiveness. Not that he said it isn't one of them, but it's missing. And another one that we noticed that wasn't there was compassion. We thought, wouldn't the fruit of the Spirit be compassion? And as I got into this a little bit more, I realized that Paul wasn't saying, these are the fruit of the Spirit and there's nothing else. He wasn't making a comprehensive list to extinguish other things. But with kindness and love comes forgiveness. With peace comes forgiveness. We talked about that last week. And Kyle, next week, is going to talk about patience and how with patience comes compassion for others. As you wait for them, you have compassion on them. Well, along with that, this morning, is kindness. Kindness and compassion go hand in hand. In fact, my point this morning, the big idea that I want you to leave with, is that kindness is compassion in action. Kindness is compassion in action. Many of us see someone in need and we have compassion for them, but we do nothing to meet their need. You can have compassion and no action, but kindness is when that compassion that God puts in your heart becomes action. Cal Thomas said this, "Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible." If someone tells you, "I love you," you can ignore that pretty easily compared to someone who loves you in their action and what they do. God demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We know God loves us not because His Word just says it, but because He did something about it. He acted in kindness through Christ Jesus for us. So this morning we're going to look at an example, a demonstration of kindness that Jesus Himself taught in Luke chapter 10. So turn with me there now. You've been in Galatians chapter 5. That's our theme. That's where our topics are coming from. But turn with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third gospel in the New Testament, Luke chapter 10. One of my favorite stories. We're going to start in verse 25, even though our focus this morning will be 30 through 35. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. All right, we've got an expert here. A lawyer. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? The man answered, quoting the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. The man knew the law. He had an understanding. He could talk about it. He could recite word for word, tit for tat, letter by letter, exactly what the law said. He knew the correct answer, and Jesus said, now you know it, it's time to do it. Do it, and you will live. But the man, wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Now wanting to somehow use this expert of the law, wants to now use ignorance as his defense. Any of you in the legal system, is ignorance a defense? I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't know the speed limit was 55 on Chinden. Depends on what part, I guess. Or 50, maybe. I didn't know. Ignorance is no defense. But this expert in the law wanted to use ignorance. Well, I can't do it, Jesus. I can't do the law because I don't know who my neighbor is. Looking for a way to justify himself, I think we probably have stood right there beside him a time or two. And Jesus replied to him, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest, oh good, a priest. A priest happened to be going down the same road. What an opportunity, a Jesus moment. The priest is here. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite. Oh good, a Levite. He'll come to his rescue. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Oh, those dirty Samaritans. Those half-breeds. Those ones who don't come to Jerusalem and worship in the temple. You know them. They don't have it figured out. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion or took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. His own donkey. He took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. There's action that compels compassion to be kindness. And who is it that is our neighbor? Us. We are the neighbor to others. Jesus flipped it all around on him, didn't he? And he flips it all around on us. And he says, I'm not asking you to find out who the neighbor is. I'm asking you to be the neighbor. In a true moment of honesty, one time I was serving and we were having a conversation about getting to know our neighbors and we were encouraging one another and I was sharing my story, which some of you have heard before, that at our house we have a map of our neighborhood that we got off Google and we write the names of the people in our neighborhood so we can remember them. And if they tell us a story like how they moved here or what job they have, we try to make notes of that so that we can remember. When we see them walking their dog, we can say, "Hey, Jerry." And I was sharing this with a group of people, and one of the people said, "You know, I don't really want to know my neighbors. If I stop and talk to them, it will take away my time. I have enough problems to worry about with my friends at work and my coworkers, and I'm a manager of people. I don't really have time to get involved in other people's problems." And I think in that moment I realized, you know, that's all of us. That's all of us. We're busy, we have other things to worry about, we're trying to manage people, take care of business, and we go, it's a much easier just to say hi and keep walking. But Jesus is asking us to do something different. And this morning we're going to take a look at what Jesus used as an example to show us compassion in action. The first thing we learn, and I'm going to go through these quickly, is that kindness is willing to take compassion into action. This is our big point. But the first thing is that there are different kinds of people. And we're going to draw some contrasts with how the story starts. First of all, there was a man walking down a road. This could be any man. It could be you, it could be me, it's every man. But some selfish and hostile people came into his life. And Jesus is clearly saying, don't be these kinds of people. And what did they do? They robbed the man, stripped him of his clothes, and left him for dead. But you know, there's other examples in Scripture of selfish and hostile people. James 4, verse 1 from the Message says, "Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels came from? Do you think these things just happen? Think again. Wars and quarrels come about because you want your own way, and you're willing to fight and dig in deep to see it happen." That's where these kinds of things come from. People say, why would God allow such bad things to happen? It's because He allows you to choose whether to serve Him or not. And if I have the choice to be hurtful and mean and cause harm to other people, so do others. Do you think these things just happen? It's because of us. So we don't want to be selfish and hostile. The second person in the story are the priest and the Levite. Now these two exemplify the next two kinds of people. And we don't really know what motivated the priest and the Levite, but we know what motivates us. And let's be honest. Sometimes we're just indifferent. It's not that we're going to kick the person when they're down. We don't walk up to this bleeding person on the side of the road and kick them again and say, well, you deserve that, or I'm angry, so I'll just take it out on you. We're not hostile, but we're indifferent. We don't stop to help. We don't bend down. We don't lift up. We don't do anything. Some of you have witnessed this with that new television program, What Would You Do? On, I think it's ABC. And they set up these scenarios where something terrible is happening and they have a selfish and hostile person in this relationship, maybe stealing a bike or doing some sort of other terrible thing. And so many people just are oblivious. They're indifferent. They walk by. It's not my problem. I don't need to deal with it. And they make excuses. The second kind of person that some of us may be is the legalistic kind of person. I think this is represented by the way that Jesus used a Levite in this case, especially to the expert in the law that was questioning him. And these kind of people justify themselves. They say, not that I don't want to get involved, they say, I can't. And they make excuses. They might say, I can't get involved with this man because I'm a Levite, and if I touch him, I will become unclean. And then I won't be able to go into the temple to serve in my duty. And so they think that somehow they are above helping, and they justify. Or maybe like us, they say, you know, I can't stop and help that person. I'll be late to work. You know, I'm here with a group of my friends. If I reach out to that person that's always made fun of at school and am kind to them, I might become the target of their teasing. There's the selfish, the hostile, the indifferent, the legalistic, and then Jesus draws the comparison with the fourth kind of person. That is the kind of person who takes compassion into action in kindness. And they bring healing. Colossians 3:12, we're taught, therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe ourselves with kindness. Kindness is love serving. To serve others requires that we do something. That's why Jesus said, go and do likewise, not just go and think differently. He wants us to act differently. Kindness says, I will give, I will share. Sometimes all that is needed is just a kind word. You may have an example of this from your own life. I know one time I was sitting at one of our favorite spots to go was Applebee's, which was just down the street from the previous house that we lived in up in Bellevue, Washington. And we went to Applebee's quite a bit. All the servers knew us and we knew all of them. And one night we were being served and she was hostile. She was abrupt. She was difficult. She wasn't listening to us. And I was getting irritated because I wanted to be served. That's why we weren't making dinner at home, is because we wanted somebody to serve us. And so we were sitting there and she was kind of making it difficult for us to enjoy our meal. And I wanted to let her have it. I'll withhold my tip. That'll really show her. Maybe I'll write a note on that receipt and tell her how awful she was. But the Spirit of God had victory over my flesh. And the next time she came to the table, I said, you know, when we're in here, you're usually in a lot better mood. Is something wrong? And before I could even finish my statement, there was a tear running down her cheek. And she shared with us the story of how awful her day had been. And how her ex-husband hadn't brought the kids by that weekend, even though it was her turn to have them. And how she had had a big weekend planned, but she couldn't get them to get there. And now she's caught in a legal battle because the police were called. Sometimes kindness is just asking, are you okay? And then taking the time to listen. There was an elderly lady who always went to the local post office because the employees there were so friendly. Once she was waiting in a long line to buy stamps for her Christmas cards. The man in line perceived what was going on, her with the sack of cards and no stamps, and she whispered to her, ma'am, there's no need for you to wait in this long line to buy stamps. There's a machine right over there and nobody's waiting. The old woman turned to him and said, I know, but the machine isn't going to smile and ask me how my arthritis is doing. Some of us have become machines. Somebody walks up and says, good morning, and we say, how are you? And we don't actually wait to listen how they are. A priest, in a moment of confession, said, one time I asked somebody, how are you? And she said, you don't really want to know. And he said, I thought, you're right, I don't want to know. That's what we can get like. Well, kindness, this is our second point this morning, kindness, like the Good Samaritan, is willing to take a risk. This Samaritan didn't know if the robbers were still hiding. Maybe at his moment of reaching down to help this other person, the robbers would jump out and hurt him as well. He was taking his own life and money and physical safety into risk. He was putting himself out there. Jesus did the same thing. He risked his life for you and for me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 is a song likely, we don't know for sure where it's come from. We haven't found it in any other place but in Philippians. But when Paul says these things, it's got the lyrical content of something like a song. He says in Philippians 2, verse 6, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus risked it all for you. And not only did he risk it, but his life was taken. And kindness in action, compassion in action, is willing to take a risk. It's willing to risk our own safety, our own finances, our own physical harm. Third thing is, like the Samaritan, kindness is willing to put others first. Kindness is compassion in action that's willing to take a risk, but is willing to put others first. In Philippians 2:3, the verse just before what we read, Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." And that's what the Samaritan did. He didn't stand there and judge the man. Well, if he had been traveling in a little more safer way, maybe he wouldn't have been robbed. Maybe if he hadn't been carrying such a large amount of money. Or maybe if he had looked more confident as he was walking down the road, these robbers wouldn't have had him. Or maybe he shouldn't have been traveling alone. What was he thinking? We're real quick to judge other people and make assumptions about them, but we're very slow and forgiving of our own actions, aren't we? But kindness is willing to put others first. If you are a thief, Ephesians 4:28 says, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work and then give generously to others in need. The scripture is teaching us about a change of heart. Those who steal are stealing because I need. Those who are generous give because they need. And they are considering others better than themselves. The fourth thing is that kindness is willing to pay the price. The Samaritan was willing to give of his own oil and wine, and then in the end, he gave 2 silver pieces. He was willing to pay the price, not just to take a risk, but to pay it, to pay the price. Some of you listen to the same radio station I listen to. It's one of the Christian music stations here in town, KTSY. 89.5. We love it. If some of you are wondering about the music that we sing here, maybe you're new to the congregation and some of the songs are new to you, most of the music we sing here on Sunday morning, they play on KTSY 89.5. So if you listen to that for a few weeks, you'll get familiar with the music that we sing. Well, they're doing something right now that they're promoting called the Drive-Thru Difference. Have you heard about this? Where they are compelling and asking and requesting that believers who listen to their station act in kindness towards the person in the drive-thru. And how do you do that? Well, you get up to the window when it's your turn to pay, and you say, I would like to pay for mine and the person behind me. And you pay the price for their lunch or for their coffee or whatever it is that you're in the drive-thru for. And then you give the cashier the money, and then they have a little card that lets the person know why it was that somebody paid the difference for them. And then that card gets handed, your lunch is already paid for, and they hand them the card, and then the card says, you know, someone loves you and wants you to know that Jesus gave to them, so they're giving to you. So this is the drive-thru difference. And what's happening is people are now calling the radio station saying, I was in the drive-thru, and I didn't have the money to get what I needed, and I knew that I just needed to spend as little as possible, and I was rushing off to this, and somebody paid for my lunch. It was just the right time. You know, and these cool stories are coming out of kindness that was willing to pay the price. Jesus was willing to pay the price. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that price for us. Fifth, kindness is willing to finish what it starts. The Samaritan paid the price, but he didn't just pay what he thought the price was going to be. He made a promise to pay so that he could finish what he started. He gave the 2 silver coins and then he said, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you have. So not only did he take care of this moment in time, but he said, whatever goes above this, I'll pay that too. Kindness is willing to finish what it starts. Philippians 1:6 says, I'm convinced that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. God is willing to finish what he started. That verse I prayed earlier over the children. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He is the one who will finish what he started. He will perfect you and me if we allow his Spirit to infuse us with kindness. Sixth, this is the last point this morning. Kindness is willing to give God the glory. God deserves the praise. Now, if we're just being kind so that someone else will love us and think we're a kind person and that will earn us favor, then we've got kindness all wrong. Kindness is kindness because Christ was kind to us, and we're kind. I ask this question, Samaritan who? I don't know if this was a real story that Jesus was describing, but there is no glory in this story given to man. The glory is given to God. Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. What was His joy? Giving us freedom. He didn't do it for His own glory, but for God's glory and for our freedom. This reminds me of a story that I heard from Tony Campolo, and I'm going to finish with this. Tony was a busy man, frequently walking the streets of downtown, and he saw all the beggars and all of the street people that were in his community, and he became familiar with who they were. And most of the time, he didn't help them and give them the money that they were begging for because he was helping them in other ways. Or maybe he was just too busy. But one day, as he was walking down the street, one of the bag ladies who he was familiar with, he knew her face, walked out of a donut shop carrying a hot cup of steaming coffee. And he said, as he approached her, she made eye contact and she said, "Mister, would you like a drink?" And he quickly dismissed her and said, "Oh no, thanks, I don't have time for that." And he kept walking. And in his spirit, as he walked by her, he became very curious why this bag lady was offering him a drink of her coffee. And he had to stop, and he turned around and saw her huddled around that cup, just sipping it ever so slowly. And he turned around to her and he said, "You know, I've had second thoughts. Maybe I will have a sip of your coffee." And she handed it out to him, and as he took it, he said, "And by the way, why are you offering me a drink of your coffee?" And then as he began to sip it, she answered him and said, "Because it was just so good, I thought somebody has to share this with me." Is God just so good that you look at someone and you say, "He is so good and kind to me, somebody has to share Him with me"? That's what should compel us to be kind. Why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to invite our music team to come back. And God is kind and good to us. He is kind to us. Are you willing to put compassion into action? Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to put others first? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to finish what you start? Are you willing to give glory to God? That is the question of compassion in action this morning. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we do get so self-serving. We get consumed with our schedules, consumed with our day, consumed with our families, that we don't take time to even notice. We become indifferent. There may be even some here who become hostile. We actually want to cause harm to other people. We've become so selfish. And Lord, there may be others among us who are legalistic. We think we can't get involved. We have excuses. We justify ourselves, and we have reasons why we shouldn't be kind. But Lord, this morning You've revealed through Your word, and I trust that You've done it in our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that we can be kind because You have been kind to us. And Holy Spirit, we ask You to seal in our hearts that desire for kindness, that desire for compassion, where not only are we taking opportunities when they come, but really we're looking for opportunities. Like Tony and Val, who Tony's been pursuing prison ministry. He's been reaching out, phone calls and emails. And finally, he got the answer so that he can put his compassion into action. And God, I pray that this example would just inspire all of us. There are needs all around us. Stanton Healthcare, Boise Teen Challenge, Boise Rescue Mission, Eagle Food Bank. God, there are organizations and ministries in our community that are already putting compassion into action, and all they need is another hand that is willing to take the risk and pay the price. So God, would you draw us to what you're already doing in our community and lead us to be kind people that bring glory and praise and honor to God. Church, I'm going to invite you to sing this song with us as sort of a closing prayer. And then when we're done, I'm going to ask you to be seated. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And if you're here this morning and God has spoken to you in any way and you would like prayer, there's a card in the seat pocket of the chair in front of you. If you're a guest, we would love for you to fill this out so that we can get to know you and introduce you to the ministries of our church. So while we're singing, if you want to take this moment, if God's been doing something, and fill out this card, please, you're welcome to sit down and do that. On the back, you can put your prayer need. You can say what it is that you would like prayer for, and then I'll be in touch and we'll take some time to meet with you. But also, if you're here this morning and you would like to just kneel and pray now or come up here and pray, you're welcome to do that as well. But we want to follow up and be a family as much as we can. So as we sing this song, prepare your hearts to give, and then we'll close in just a moment.